Here on the UMD campus, it's the Multicultural Summit event, and that summit on equity, race, and multiculturalism has always been important to us here at as parts of the campus community. But this year, it seems that perhaps it's even more important that we try to understand one another and understand what some of the concerns are of different kinds of people here on campus. Cheryl Wrighton joins us this morning in our studios, and you just showed me a picture of you with the author of a book called Waking Up White and Finding Myself in the Story of Race, Debbie Irving. She was a keynote speaker. Tell us about her.
Actually, my connection with her goes back to last fall when my daughter in St. Paul and her book group read the book. And she read it. She called me. She was so excited. She had her book group. They all loved it. And she sent it to me. And I did not read it.
And Cheryl, then, so you broke the mother-daughter book recommendation code.
Oh, I did. Ooh. Broke that contract. Mm. However, about a couple months ago, our committee, that runs the summit, realized that we could get Debbie Irving to Duluth, and she would speak about her journey of learning about what it meant to be have more advantages than a lot of other people. And then I started reading the book, and then someone wanted to borrow it, and then I went to the library and got a copy to read, but I still hadn't finished it, so I turned to the last chapter.
Okay.
And the last chapter really caught me so deeply that I went and bought the book. So 3 books later, I've read it all, and I've met Debbie, and she gave a lovely talk, but let me just not be a spoiler at all, but tell you what really got me was that last chapter where she said all her journey of learning how much advantage she had and kind of watching her father and her family get the GI Bill, go to college, buy a home through the GI Bill, all these advantages, and then realizing that people of color who also fought in World War II, American Indians, Hispanics, Blacks, did not have those same advantages. They were removed from almost all of the benefits of the GI Bill, and she realized what a huge disparity that is. So that's the beginning of her book, and it's beautiful, and it's easy read. But when I opened that last chapter thinking, I'll just skim this thing and I'll be done with the book.
Right.
She talked about something in solidarity. And so she said, it's not enough to help people. You have to be with them. And so she goes to the store, gives them her credit card and her driver's license, because that's what her friends have to do. She dresses completely before she takes the garbage out. No more in your pajamas. She never, ever eats a bite of food in the grocery store. Oh, am I guilty of that? I shop after work and I'm starving. Sometimes I open a package.
I never.
She will never
I've
do
never
that.
Never done that.
Well, but you.
But, well, now I'm.
You're
now
more proper than me.
Well, maybe in even.
But
in
her friends.
Line, whatever. Sure.
That.
Sure.
Do it. Are called to the manager's office. So over and over again, she is recognizing what her friends have to go through. And I thought that struck me.
Well, and we've mm-hmm. seen this occasionally on social media, whether or not we've paid attention to it, where mm-hmm. I can think of one where a woman of color and her girlfriend went to a grocery store. And the girlfriend was expected to produce, like you say, I think a couple of forms of ID. And the other gal wasn't. And then they both stopped and said, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Why did I have to produce, or why did mm-hmm. she have to produce 2 forms of ID and I didn't? Mm-hmm. And try to raise that kind of awareness.
And you'll see that in siblings from a mixed race family, where one sibling is darker and one sibling is whiter. And they are treated completely differently.
Someone said something to me that, or I read something recently that really helped me to understand. It really kind of put into words. They said, if you are not, you know, for the people that are saying, well, let's kind of give the current administration a chance and let's just kind of see how things play out. Mm-hmm. They said, you're not being hurt by it. And I liked the simplicity of that, but I also, you know, it was, okay, you don't maybe have a transgender person in your family that you're concerned about, or mm-hmm. maybe you are not a person of color that mm-hmm. is concerned about what could be happening, or maybe you don't have immigrants in your family that you're concerned mm-hmm. about where they might go. And I thought, well, that was a perhaps a good way of explaining it, mm-hmm. and it also might be a way that as we enter into dialogue with other people, instead of sometimes yeah. the angry words that rush to the forefront, we
Absolutely.
Could say, well, you know, I am concerned about this, and I don't feel like I can let it play out because I have, you know, this person in my family, or I struggle with this particular thing, and mm-hmm. I'm afraid. I feel like these things are going to hurt me, and this is why. Maybe yeah. help the dialogue a little bit. Do you feel with the summit this year that there is kind of a different tenor, a different feel to the whole thing?
We had a huge crowd. We had almost 700 people. It's more than, you know, almost half again as much as last year. So I think that might speak to that. Two things you talked about were understanding and dialogue. And I actually attended two of the workshops that touched on those things. So indirectly, I think your people or the planners of the conference were talking to your point. So the understanding, I went to a session on Muslim dress and understanding which different head dresses, religion, the Quran, what countries do what countries are like mandating a headdress by law, which countries are more following the Quran and being, you choose to do what you'd like. So that was a great session for understanding. And then the dialogue, I went to a session on dialogue, and it was about how you first get to an even playing table and strategies, so it's not an argument and it's not somebody winning, but it's getting to an understanding. Really great sessions. I wish I could have gone to more.
That is something I think that we do struggle with a lot in conversation, is that it becomes more of a power play. It becomes more of a power game.
Yeah.
You know, my argument can beat your argument.
Yeah.
And it becomes a contest. It's, you know, verbal arm wrestling or something.
Right, right.
And we're not seeking to understand as much as we're seeking to try to destroy the other guy. Have you, in an opinion from you, have you known a time in our history as a nation where we were so angry with one another?
No, well, I'm old enough to remember the civil rights movement. And yeah, and so, you know, I remember, of course, I remember Martin Luther King being shot. So I remember that. And I also lived in New York and Chicago. So it wasn't so Minnesota. So yeah, I do. But not since then. Mm-hmm.
Will be interesting.
It will be interesting.
Is there a plan with the Summit and Diversity Conference to you know, maybe perhaps going forward to make some of these speakers or breakout sessions or mm-hmm. handout materials or videos available for folks so that the reach can be expanded a little bit, like you say, for the people that weren't able to attend every session?
You know, I think that's a great idea for us to do, like on our website immediately, is get a list of videos and books for people to read. We have done something, tying back to Debbie Irving, last fall we offered a three-part series called Race, the Power of Illusion, and it was on broadcast by PBS. You can get it on YouTube. But we offered it, and over 100 people came. And so we're talking about offering something this spring. We haven't quite figured it out. But it does take a village to put that conference together. So going back to Debbie, her very first chapter talks about she's going back to school. She's trying to get, you know, working on her advanced degrees, and takes a class in something about diversity. And she saw Race, the Power of Illusion, and it turned her 180 degrees. It turned her life around. So we've offered that. We should probably offer it every year. It's really it's factual, it's scientific, it's factual about history, and it rocks your world.
Cheryl, one final question. We're running out of time, but I really do want to ask you, because this is the kind of thing that I ask people a lot in this situation. When you hold a movie screening or you hold a summit on diversity, are you preaching to the choir? How do you get the people who are not interested in learning these mm-hmm. things? How do you bring them to the table and make them feel that there's something there for them also?
You're right. I think we are, for the most part, preaching to the choir, but not everyone. And that's why you just got to keep doing it, because you are inviting. If you didn't do it, those people are like, I'm kind of interested. Maybe I do need to look at this. You bring those people into. And that's how it starts.
Cheryl, thanks so much for coming. It's always good to see you. Cheryl Wrighton joins us in the studio this morning. The keynote speaker of the Multicultural Summit event was Debbie Irving, the author of Waking Up White and Finding Myself in the Story of Race. And we'll get some of the links set up to some of the videos and things that Cheryl talked about, so folks can find more information on our website if they're interested.